Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Alkemist Medicare Services Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call, hosted by Choice Equity Broking Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Deepika Murarka from Choice Equity Broking Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, all.
Thank everyone.
On behalf of the entire management, I thank all the participants present on the call, and I wish you a very warm welcome to the first-ever earnings conference call of Alkemist Medicare Services Limited. To guide us through the results today, we have with us the senior management team of Alkemist Medicare, represented by Dr. Devalina Chakravarti, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjeev Kumar Kothari, CFO, Mr. Rudra Narayan, Head IR, and Dr. Vishal Arora, Chief Business Officer. Before we begin, please note that this conference may contain certain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve certain risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. We will commence the call with the opening speech by Dr. Devalina, Managing Director, and after this, we will open the forum for Q&A. So with that, I will now hand over the call to Dr. Devalina to share her opening remark. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Deepika, and good morning, everyone. I hope you have had the opportunity to review our Q2 FY 2026 earnings presentation uploaded on the stock exchange and our website. The quarter under review was marked by steady growth momentum, operational stability, and continued progress across our key strategic priorities. We delivered a consolidated revenue of INR 274.7 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 13.8%. This growth was led by strong performances in core specialties such as cardiac sciences, oncology, neurosciences, general surgery, liver transplant, and gynecology. Consolidated EBITDA stood at INR 58.3 crores, translating to a margin of 21.2% as compared to 20.6% in Q2 of FY 2025. Profit after tax before exceptional items was INR 30 crores, up by 35.6% YoY. For H1 FY 2026, consolidated revenues were INR 529.7 crores, up 14% year-on-year, while EBITDA stood at INR 106.6 crores with a margin of 20.1%. Net profit H1 FY 2026 was INR 51.2 crores compared to INR 38.7 crores in H1 FY 2025. Our balance sheet remained strong, with a debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 1.6 as of September 30, 2025. We continue to maintain healthy liquidity. During the quarter, our flagship facility in Gurugram continued to show healthy growth supported by an increase in international patients, capacity additions in the third tower, and operational efficiency. Occupancy levels reported at 64.1%, while ARPOB reached INR 81,994, reflecting an enhanced case and payer mix and a higher share of complex procedures. Our international business contributed approximately 32% of revenues, maintaining our leadership in the medical value travel segment. We have also added five new operation theaters alongside expanded capacity in nephrology, bone marrow transplant, and gastroenterology units, which will contribute meaningfully in the second half of the year. We have received a platinum green building certification, which entitles us a 15% increase in FAR at no additional cost, thereby enabling the addition of 100 plus beds to support our long-term growth. As you are aware, our upcoming Raipur facility with 300 beds remain on track for commissioning by the end of FY26, and the binding MOU for a 650-bed facility in South Delhi Hospital marks an important milestone in expanding our regional footprint. On the clinical front, we launched India's first private geriatrics and longevity department and partnered with KIMS Hyderabad for advanced heart and lung transplants, both underscoring our commitment to advanced patient-centric care. On the technology front, the deployment of AI-assisted triage systems and integrated CRM tools are enhancing operational efficiency and patient experience. We are also investing in advanced data analytics to support decision-making and optimizing patient pathways. Digital transformation continues to be a strategic focus with the rollout of the new hospital information system and 5G-enabled ambulances for real-time emergency care. Looking ahead, we remain focused on operational excellence, clinical depth, and disciplined growth. Our priorities include capacity expansion, sustained and improved margins, and driving digital innovation to deliver value to all our stakeholders. With that, we shall now open the floor for question and answers. May I please request the moderator to take this up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, and thank you. Good morning. And congrats on a good set of results. And I have two questions. First is, the volume growth this quarter was pretty strong. So should we see, actually expect this to sustain, moderate over the next, let's say, 4 to 5 quarters?
Yes, the answer is yes. We have taken multiple steps, including hiring of new doctors, focus and thrust on our international business. So we are looking to sustain this YOY volume growth.
Okay. And with respect to international patients, what led to this strong growth in international patients? Like have you changed any strategy in this particular segment, and how should we look at this?
Yeah, so I get your question. So we have actually been the market leaders in international business. What we focus is in servicing our offshore offices better. When I say servicing, more number of both medical and surgical camps, outreach, OPDs, better connectivity through telemedicine and teleradiology, e-consults to all our overseas areas. So we had intentionally put a thrust on it, which yielded this result for us.
Okay, so in that sense, you are deliberately reducing the insured patient mix and government mix so that your ARPOB can improve. Like, how should we look at ARPOB going forward?
So ARPOB, we are looking at, so we are not reducing anything. We are kind of We keep a little bit of a cap on the empaneled patients, balance domestic, we are fostering domestic and international growth. And we look at a year-on-year growth of 6 to 8% on our POBs in all the quarters.
Okay. And within IFO, how much is the price hike led?
Pricing is insignificant, I would say, between 1.5 to 2% because it's a competitive market and we want to keep our competitive edge.
Understood. So majority is driven by mix change.
Yes, that's right.
Understood. Understood. And one last question on the overall bed capacity in Gurgaon facility now that we have received the FAR also. So like by, so 1,000 beds will be coming over the next by FY28 or like how should we see the timeline?
So the thing is, in situ, which is in Gurgaon, we have got 15% more FAR, and now the government has also opened, you know, the rule to buy more FAR. So our ambition is the Gurgaon facility should be anywhere between 850 to 1,000 beds in the next 1.5 years. We are looking at 300 facility in Raipur starting February. March of 26, and 1.5-2 years down the line, we are looking at 650 bed facility in South Delhi. So these are projects which are already announced and are in the public space. And having said that, we have a long funnel, and we are looking at possible expansion in other areas as well. So our commitment of 2,000 bed plus in 2 to 3 years stands, maybe more.
Understood. And just two questions on Raipur. So Raipur, how, what's the strategy of empaneling the patients? Like will you like will it take time? So basically, empanelment of the panels, be it CGHS or ECHS.
So I will tell you certain advantages of Raipur. The advantage is the Raipur hospital is. Our hospital is going to be the first tertiary and quaternary healthcare hospital in Raipur. That is number one. Number two, Raipur people have now, the insurance penetration is pretty high and the earnings are good in Raipur. The most important part, however, is our partner, Dr. Agarwal and Dr. Gupta, who are very well-known local doctors. So our strategy is we are going to leverage our partners who are well-known as doctors and politically well-connected to get all our TPA empanelments quickly and also to hire the best doctors in the city of Raipur who have a good practice and following. So that would be our strategy so that we can draw businesses from various scattered smaller hospital to the main hospital.
Okay, but while so there are some other 2 or 3 hospitals, big corporate hospitals also in Raipur. So how do you see the competitive intensity panning out there?
So we have seen those corporate hospitals, and whether it comes to infrastructure, whether it comes to the equipment, and whether it comes to the facility. So this is our hospital is going to be one of its kind. So none of these are going to be. Close to what we are, introducing into the market. So we are also going to be competitive in terms of pricing. So we are hopeful of a great traction there.
Okay. So in terms of pricing, what will be the expected ARPOB here?
So the expected ARPOB to start with would be in the range of 26 to 28,000 to start with. But
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't want to overprice ourselves when we start, and then we would gradually build it up to 35, 45, and then going up to 60,000. Yeah, which is
Understood.
A good ask for tier 2 cities, keeping in mind the cost of operations are much lower than tier 1.
Okay, understood. Thank you, ma'am. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanskar from Iraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi ma'am. Good morning. So
good morning.
I have a few questions. So I was seeing the H1 FY26 occupancy rate has shown a decline compared to the last H1, despite overall revenue and profitability growth. Could you explain the reasons behind the occupancy drop? Are there any specific operational, competitive, or any other market factors?
Between year on year, we have added 20% more beds. So when if you look at our numbers, year on year, we have added around 18 to 20% more beds. So in real terms, while the number of bed occupancy has increased, but in terms of percentage, it shows a dip. It is a very marginal and transient thing, and we are hopeful that we will be catching up in terms of percentage sooner than later. This is just because we are adding new beds.
Understood. Now, I understand that the operational beds has increased, but occupied beds has not increased at that pace, the pace at which operational beds have increased. That's why occupancy percentage has saw a dip. So wanted to understand the reasons. Is there any particular reasons, and how can we look at the occupancy going forward? Yeah.
Occupancy going forward will be upwards of 70, if not more. The reason is, this is a part of our business strategy to create extra beds, a little bit of redundancy, because, the land is ours, the building is ours. What was earlier happening was almost 20 to 30 patients were being refused every day, and they were going to our competitors. And once you refuse your patient, they never come back. So this was a thought through strategy to increase and have more beds rather than having it neck to neck. And again, with this new FAR, once we reach around 70% of the current bed, we might again add that 100 beds, because it's always important to keep extra beds to prevent patient refusal, because then you are refusing your potential clients. And also, you must remember, in our inpatient beds, some of the NICU-PICU beds, which is the neonatal ICU and pediatric ICU beds, are also included. And some of them are basically bassinets, so you can't put an adult there. So basically the number of beds, the extra beds, have to always be an X percentage to have a smooth admission of patients when they want a bed, whether it is a general bed, a twin or a single, or even the ICU, because that adds to patient comfort and throughput. So this is an intentional strategy, and we will continue. But having said that, it will be our endeavor to have occupancy 70% or more in the total number of beds moving forward.
Understood. So my second question is on the lines of international patient revenue. So we saw a surge of 30% this quarter. So how sustainable is that growth going forward? Is that, or can we see a change in that growth number in that international patient?
So I'm glad you asked this question, because this question has been asked multiple times earlier as well. So 30% it has been a number or a percentage we have maintained over a period of time, and we intend to better it. So even with growing number of beds, our percentage remains 30, 31, 32, and there is an upward movement. So you can understand that, our entire international handle is a very strong handle, and we move it in a very seamless manner to keep increasing this number, and that number will continue to be the same, if not more.
Understood. Got it. So my another question is around the Raipur facility. So so you're saying you're targeting it to be operational by March 26th, but how does the management foresee its contribution to like overall growth and by to the profitability at what timeline?
So we are looking at 1.5 years to kind of break even, 1 to 1.5 years. Which is what we have kept as a target, but our internal targets are shorter than that. And, and the losses are not going to be big. It's very, the operating losses are going to be small and marginal. And so what we have planned is that the Gurgaon facility, we are going to push the margins and the profits and the EBITDAs up. We are going to stop the losses of our smaller units, which as you can already see is less than 50%. And by the time it starts, our, you know, the smaller units will stop making losses. So net-net, we are not going to see too much of a dip in this 1 and 1.5 years, and post which it is going to significantly add to our top line, EBITDA, and to our EPS is what we expect. Exact numbers we will not be able to disclose, but I can tell you that this is going to be a big boost before we start our Delhi operation. So we have staged it in a manner that first all our small center losses are going to be over by December, January of the current financial year. Then the Raipur comes, and by the time the Raipur facility starts making profit, the Delhi facility comes. So you will always see a very disciplined growth, a strong growing top line, EBITDA, bottom line, and EPS. So we have focused on all these parameters, and they are always on our radar. Yeah?
Understood. So just taking your point on the Delhi one, as you mentioned that it will start once Raipur will start flowing into bottom line. So any, can you put, give any particular timelines, and what are we expecting on the, any update on
so
the that Delhi project?
Our, yeah, so sorry. So if you would have seen our binding MOU, so the binding MOU says that we have a couple of CPs, conditions precedent, which we are expecting to be, and we will come back and announce it. We are expecting it to be addressed by end of December. Then immediately post that, we are going to start, looking at the construction and permission. So it will take 1.5 to 2 years to get operational in a prime South Delhi location. With, it will be one of the largest hospitals in South Delhi with a minimum of 650 beds. And by the time in the next 1.5 to 2 years that gets operational, we are confident that Raipur is going to be significantly adding to our top and our bottom line. So we are doing it in a manner that, the top and the bottom lines are maintained as we expand.
Understood. And what is the timeline? Can you restate the timeline on the increase in beds in Gurgaon facility? Like you are saying that we have got a 15% FAR. Yeah.
Yes. So I will give you an easier timeline in terms of, you know, we are today at 64% of our current beds. When we touch 70% in a quarter, because, you know, these are just floors we have to create on top of our existing buildings, our plinth we have created to already support it, so it won't take too much time. So 1 quarter of 70% occupancy will see these beds coming in force. So you track our occupancy and you will know when the beds are coming. Yeah. Yes.
No, thank you. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Stock Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is in the Raipur Hospital. So we are expecting the Raipur Hospital.
There is a lot of background noise from your side.
Okay, just give me a second. Is this better?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah, so just wanted to know in the Raipur Hospital, which we are expecting to go live by March, what's the current execution status and how soon after commissioning do you expect it to break even on the EBITDA level?
What is the first part of the question?
The execution
status. The current status, status of the Raipur Hospital is the building is almost ready. The interiors are about to start or, you know, I am visiting it next month. So we are looking, so we are on track to start it in March of 26. And a break even, like I mentioned in my previous question, we are looking between 1 to 1.5 years to break even our Raipur facility.
Okay, and on the South Delhi project, What is the CapEx structure and the funding mix that we are expecting?
We will come back with it when we have, because this information is not public currently. Like I said, there have been two CPs, which will convert our binding MOU to a binding contract. We are looking at end of December for these CPs to be addressed and our binding contracts to be signed by end of December. We will come back to all of you to give you a detail of our CapEx, our margins, our EBITDA. All I can say is, as you are aware, South Delhi is the goldmine of all hospitals. It is going to be better than our Gurgaon facility. We'll come back to you with all the details at end of December when we sign the contract and we announce it to the stock exchange.
Thanks. That's helpful.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chheda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi.
My question is on the occupied beds at the Gurgaon facility.
Yes.
Since it is at around 350 today, can you walk us through the timelines of the Tower 3, whether we have more room to improve these occupied beds? The answer that I'm looking for is what should drive growth for the company, particularly from Gurgaon? Will it be a function of only ARPOB, or do we still have some scope from the existing Tower 3, which is if there is any yet to come?
No. Naturally, very pertinent question. The growth is going to come from definitely ARPOB. In this ARPOB, we have not factored in too much of pricing, which we may consider going ahead. The next will come with increased occupancy. The minimum we look at is 70%, if not more. The third is adding newer units in the same existing departments, where we get doctors who have good running practice. The combination of all three, and definitely occupancy, will add to our future growth.
Got it. We should perhaps work with a 370, 380 occupied beds for Gurgaon until the further beds are added, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's correct.
Right. For Raipur, are we expecting any occupancy ramp-up for next year? Should we work with the occupancy bed number for Raipur in FY 2027, or this remains monitorable as of now?
No. For the C, we are going to be starting by March. For one complete year, which is from April 26 to March 27, we have taken a conservative occupancy between 40% and 50%. Based on that, we have extrapolated a break-even in one to one and a half years' time. That is the minimum baseline that we would like to maintain, but definitely internally, we would like to better it.
Right. Your comment on the ARPOB for Raipur at around 25-27, is it something which will be only for a few quarters? Because our understanding was this is supposed to be north of 35,000.
No.
Is it a function of?
25-27. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Please continue.
Yeah. Is it going to be a function of government patients initially and then perhaps it ramps up very quickly to the 35,000 mark or beyond?
If you look at not just ours, any hospital chains, tier two hospitals, their ARPOB is typically less than the tier one ARPOBs. 25,000-27,000, which we are saying, is today probably the current ARPOBs of the hospitals which are running. When we start, we do not want to outprice ourselves, and we are going to begin with it. As the traction increases, our TPA empanelments increase, and people start using the facility, we are going to gradually bring it up in terms of pricing and in terms of case mix. We are going to bring it up gradually from 25,000-27,000 to almost 55,000-60,000 over a period of time. very difficult for me to tell the timeline, but it will be our endeavor to do it as quickly as possible.
Right. The last question was on the small center losses. Would you be able to quantify what would be the quarterly exit of these losses, and what should drive the turnaround in terms of profitability in these centers? And if you can also, if you have a ballpark estimation of what should be the EBITDA bleed for Raipur facility next year, that should be.
So first question was for the smaller centers, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, the daffodils.
Yeah, so basically for the small, so like as you're already aware, 90 to 95% of the businesses are is coming from our flagship Gurgaon facility. So while these all the other facilities are almost breaking even, or some of them are even showing profits, in real terms, it is a small fraction of the entire piece that we are dealing with. So having said that, we are looking to kind of, you know, the earlier, if you have looked at the earlier losses of between 8 to 10 crores or 10 to 12 crores have significantly come down, and they are breaking even. So that is one thing. And in Raipur, your question was, what was the
EBITDA loss that we should expect?
In Raipur, is it?
Raipur. Yeah.
It is in Raipur. So between 15 to 18 crores till we break even.
Got it, ma'am. That's it from my end. Thank you.
So before we break even, we are looking at an operating loss of around 18 crores, if you would say. Yeah, just check the numbers.
Sure. Done. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Sinha from MIPL Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Hi, yes, you are.
Hi, I just broadly wanted to understand that given the aggressive kind of bed expansion that we're planning over the next 2 to 3 years, what is our CapEx outlay for fiscal 26 and 27?
I can only give you certain outlines, because once we have signed the contract, we have right now the MOU, which is going to get signed into a binding contract by end of December, and we'll come back and give you every line item about it. But what I can only tell you that whatever expansion we are doing is going to be through, currently the ones which we have disclosed will be through our internal accrual and debt. And peak debt, even at the peak debt, will be 350 crores, peak debt, and our debt and our ratios and covenants are going to be maintained even after the...
Less than 1.8.
The ratios will be less than 1.8, as my CFO points out. So the peak debt will be 350. And as you are aware that we have taken this, the whole P&L is going to be with us, but we have taken this 4 acres of land on a 35 years contract in the heart of South Delhi. So we don't have to pay for the land, which is prohibitively expensive in Delhi today. So our cost per bed is going to be significantly lower than what it is today. And we are planning to bring in a lot of operational efficiencies, so which will control our capex. So peak debt, like I said, is going to be 350, but give me time till end of December when we come back and tell you in details about the Delhi project, because right now I'm not allowed to disclose it.
Got it. But excluding the South Delhi Hospital, if I were to just simply look at the 100 and 200 bed expansion at the Gurgaon Hospital and any incremental capex at the Raipur facility, any guidance on the capital expenditures for those two?
So the Raipur, overall investment in Raipur facility would be around 100 to 110 crores. And we are going to be, if you look at our operational losses, is going to be another 18 crores. So this is what is going to be, of course, Raipur facility. And for adding another 100 beds in our current Gurgaon facility, the cost per bed would be around 70 lakhs per bed. So you can multiply it by 100, and that's how it will be, because our plinth is already created. It will be on the top floors of our existing towers. So approximately that will be the cost, between 70 to 75 lakhs per bed for the 100 beds. So what I'm trying to project here is that we have consciously kept the cost per bed low so that the ROIs are better and faster, and we do not have, we have all our banking covenants in place.
Got it. My second question was around the overseas hospitals that we have. So we have an 80-bed hospital, yes, and we're planning on adding two more under the operations contract, right? Could you provide some color on the specifics of this contract? Like, how does it work? What's the longevity of these contracts?
So these are long-term contracts in Mauritius. Actually, currently we only have it in Mauritius as we speak. And here, basically, we are only provided a fee per month. So we do not own the P&L in this. And this fee keeps increasing as the number of beds and the number of units increase. I am not at a discretion to specify the fee because it's not in the public domain. But it's a fee which comes directly to our top and also to our bottom line. So that in that manner, it's good. So we have helped them set up the hospital. We have run all their SOPs. We do our camps with them. And most importantly, the high-end surgeries from Mauritius, which cannot be done in the island, they are automatically referred to us in Artemis, apart from the monthly fee that we get there. Yes?
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. My last question was, we also have around 100 non-census beds at the Gurgaon facility. Do we have any plans of making those operational anytime soon, or we can assume that they remain non-census for the medium term?
No, so the non-census, actually the beds are basically the daycare beds, right? And the non-census beds are not non-occupied. They are the beds which are basically the daycare beds, the dialysis beds, the emergency room beds. So basically they are continuously being used, and they are giving us revenue from their areas. But the beds where people do not have an overnight stay are categorized as non-census. So it's not that they are closed or not used. They're continuously being used in dialysis, in daycare, chemo, in emergency, and so on and so forth. So those beds are being used.
All right, got it. That was all my questions. Congratulations on a great set of numbers, and all the best.
Thank you, and we'll our endeavor would be to keep it up, if not better it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Megha Bhapkar from Nishal Group. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you give me the guidance of FY 26 and 27 after the expansions of the Raipur facility and the South Delhi hospital after the December? What will be the guidance for half 26 and 27?
See, we don't provide direct guidance, but if you have looked at our half yearly results of our company so far, we are only, if not just maintained, we are going to better it. So you will look at a stronger top line growth, and EBITDA, which is, going to be better than what is your half yearly EBITDA today. Your EPS is going to, we have moved from 5.5 to 6.5, and it will continuously grow and be better by the end of the year. So this is what we are looking at. The Raipur effect will not come because the Raipur is going to be by March of 2026. And like I did mention in my earlier questions, for 1 to 1.5 years, we are looking at an operating loss of approximately 18 crores. But that we are looking to mitigate by stopping all the losses of our smaller centers where we are already seeing the results. So what you need to, if you look at it in totality, the flagship is going to grow better than how it grew in the first half year with robust top line. bettering our EBITDA, bettering our PAT, and thereby the EPS. That's how we are going to look at.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemal Bagaria from Equicorp. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, ma'am. Ma'am, I've just got a few quick questions. If you could just allude on the strategy on the other than the Gurgaon hospitals that we have, that is the Light and the Daffodils. I mean, how, since that is also then the South Delhi area, plus we are getting this new hospital in the South Delhi area. So how is the exact use going to be? Are we actually going to put some facilities out there to make it probably multi-specialty, or it will continue to be Light or on the Daffodils model? That is the first question. Number two, if I get the timeline right, first we are going to get the Raipur operational breakeven, then we are going to get the Delhi operational, and as we get the Delhi operational, we'll also expand the 100 beds on the Gurgaon, and then probably purchase the FAR for another two times and just get the 200 beds operational. Is that right timeline?
Yeah, the perfect timeline, and what you did mention is the perfect timeline. And the reason for this staggered is, you know, our because we, the Delhi hospital, we are breaking it and making it all over again to make it a state-of-the-art hospital with 650 beds. So, and your timelines are absolutely to the T. And to answer your first questions, pertinent that our South Delhi hospital, South Delhi Light and Daffodil, so we had started it with the purpose that we knew long-term we are going to have a hospital there. And we wanted the brand to be visible, our services to be used by people. So these two will continue as a hub and spoke model, but certain specialties are going to be added, like we are, you know, our geriatric medicine, which is a new department we have added in the flagship and doing very well in Gurgaon. So one of these centers will, apart the, probably between Daffodils and NFC, will also have geriatric medicine because it's the need of the hour, and it will also be in the main hospital. So a lot of sometimes geriatric people are hesitant to come to a main hospital. So we will be adding geriatrics in one of the smaller units. But the important part is, they are going to be an hub and spoke. So today, out of 10 referrals from our Delhi centers, probably 3 land up. Subsequently, these referrals will be adding to the main center, and these are also in South Delhi. So that's the whole, you know, whole concept so far.
Okay. Ma'am, also if you could also allude on the cardiac centers that we have. So what are our plans there, and is it a profitable on a standalone basis across all the centers, or are we still seeing some minor losses there?
No, so all of these are EBITDA positive as we speak. And going forward, we are in actually talks of 100% maybe acquiring them. But we will come back to you because, you know, then that gives us more operational efficiency. All of them are EBITDA positive and they are making profits. So, and we have 65% and Philips has 35%. So we are still on the drawing board, and we are looking at the options of 100% acquisition if possible to increase their profitability. And, you know, and buy of the assets at a depreciated value, the cost is not going to be anything very high. So that work is still in progress. Yes.
And then lastly, on the Raipur facility side, how is the agreement exactly with the two doctors that we have? Is it because in past we've seen certain hospitals where if the star doctor leaves, the occupancy actually drops, and wherever they join, probably occupancy out there actually shoots up. So out here, A, the DS strategy, B, how much skin in the game do they have? Do we have a structure where this completely belongs to us and they get a big fee? Or is it, are they also there on a sharing model on the, I mean, the ownership side?
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line got disconnected. Please hold while we get them reconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, we have management connected now. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, I think we missed the last question. Hello? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So ma'am, I'll just...
Yeah, may I continue? I'm sorry. No. Yeah, I know, I remember the question. I will just answer you. So in Raipur, our partners are the ones who own the land and who's giving us the building. The equipments and interiors are all being done for us. This is a 35 years long contract where the P&L is with us. All they want is a rent on a monthly basis based on the market rate. And also the departments which they run, which is general surgery and gastroenterology, these are the two doctors of those two departments. We have a 45-55% share, 55% to us of the revenue and 45% going into them. And the rest of all, the whole thing and the P&L belongs to us. So you would, if all of you would have seen our endeavor, because hospital business is a very capex intensive business, and that's why the ROI becomes a bit of a question mark. So if you have seen our strategy, we have actually turned this whole concept on its head, and we try to build hospitals and have beds. The cost of the beds are lower than the existing cost of beds in that region, though the hospital is, a seven-star hospital, by a various combination of factors. Like for instance, the land is theirs, the building is theirs. We are coming in with the equipments and some of the interiors, and we hold the P&L, and we are just giving them a rent. Similarly, for Delhi, it would be like another 35 years of lease, but we are not paying for the land. So, this is how we have managed to keep the cost per bed low and have a financial discipline.
Okay. And just lastly, for a small follow-up, if we actually get a Delhi facility operational, which is about 650 beds, and even if I assume just put in the equipment as well as the civil construction cost, and if I just put a figure of, say, 1.25 to 1.5 crores a bed, it actually goes north of 800 crores. And if we've got about 280 odd crores of debt, so and with a max limit of 350, and I think so we also raised some money from IFC. So all in all, I think so there's some disconnect on the cash flow side. So if there could be some more explanation, is it going to be on a phased way? Is it going out? And how are we actually going to manage the debt and the cash flows there? That's the last one.
No, it's very simple. Firstly, the money we have raised. We are open to raising more, and those are the options which we are looking at. Whether it is going ahead, going with a QIP or going with a, so those are multiple options which we are now doing it. All I can say is we are never going to exceed a 330 crores of debt in the best case scenario. And we have free cash flows generated every year from our operations. We have money in the bank from IFC. And we are, so all of that together. So once some of these things are finalized, and maybe by end of December, like I'm going on repeating, we'll come back with more details. I can only assure you that our peak debts will not exceed 330. Our covenants are all going to be maintained. There is going to be internal accruals from our free cash flow, and there will be options of raising fund, which we are completely open to. So that's how we are going to manage. But the details we will tell you when we meet again.
Sure, ma'am. Thanks a lot.
Basically,
and congratulations on this.
Basically,
yes, sir.
Yeah. So give us time till December. We will tell you exactly what we are doing, because a lot of planning and a lot of discussions are going on regarding the same. Yeah? So we'll come back to you.
Sure, ma'am. Thanks a lot. And congratulations on this massive ambition. And just wish the team all the best.
So just can you, I think my CFO wants to come in here just to clarify.
Basically, this spending will be in the phased manner over a period of 2 to 2.5 year time. And by the time, we will also repay existing loan and reduce the loan outstanding as of date by 70 to 80 crore rupees. So our peak debt, as ma'am mentioned, will not exceed in any case with the existing plans we have 350 crore rupees.
330 to 350 crores, but all other options that we are looking at also for further expansion, we will come back once we have signed on the dotted line and talk to you about it. Yeah?
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedant Rane from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, ma'am, on a good set of numbers and a strong quarter. I just have
Thank
one
you.
Question.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I just have one question. is that we have industry leading ARPOB, but if we see our EBITDA margins, they are quite low compared to our peers which operate in the region. Could you please explain why is that the case, and what would be our, if you could give a guidance, what could be a sustainable margin in future?
So, very good and pertinent question. You know, the EBITDA margins in terms of percentage, if you look at it, is directly a factor of economies of scale, because after a point, your fixed cost remains fixed, whether it is your corporate cost, whether, you know, most of it, other than cost of consumption, and a very small incremental cost comes in terms of manpower, which is the mid or the paramedics kind of a thing. Your heads of departments and all of them are in place. So, if you would have seen our EBITDA numbers, we were between 10 to 12%, then we moved to 14, then 17, then 21. And this happened only with a small scale that we created within our existing premises. So typically, as hospitals grow and the number of beds increase, efficiencies come in, both in terms of costs, which is the manpower cost in certain areas, and also very importantly the cost of consumption, because when you buy more you negotiate better and you get advantage of 2 to 2.5 to sometimes even 3 points in terms of consumption. And we are totally aware of it, and all I can tell you, we will be, as we grow in numbers, as we reach our targets of closer to 2000 beds, you will see us, you know, second to none in terms of our margins. Today we are limited because of our one hospital, and as we increase to 1,000 plus beds, you will see the capacity, the numbers moving up.
All right, ma'am. Thank you so much for the explanation, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neelam Punjabi from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on some excellent set of numbers. My first question is on the government mix. So we are at about 20% as I see in the presentation. And there have been some rate revisions recently by the government, right, on CGHS. So
right.
Would we see some impact on our numbers and some improvement in margins on that account?
Yes. So there has been, you know, there has been a marginal increase in the margins of the government business. But honestly, as a business leader, I do not, it's a good news for us, definitely. Let me put it forward. And it's a good news for us, but overall, if I were to run and lead a company, I would still like to keep my government business between maybe 15 to 18% and not 20%. But when you have increased capacity, you sometimes have to increase your government business. Overall, it's a good thing for us. The margins, especially the CGHS numbers, have gone up, which is good. But I can only tell you the upward growth in our margins has come with our new theatres opening up, more surgical cases, better case mix, because that's where our whole focus is. And this just adds to the tailwind, you know, the little increase in the numbers in CGHS and other places. It just adds to the tailwind, but it is not the primary tailwind if we have to run the business. Yeah.
Understood. And my second question is on a follow-through on the previous participant's question on margins. So given that over the next couple of years or maybe 3 years, we'll get to that 1,000 beds in the standalone Artemis Gurgaon facility. And given, you know, historically we've seen that the margins have gone up from those 10% to now 20% plus. So is it fair to assume that, you know, on a standalone basis, getting to the mid-20s kind of a level is not a tall ask?
No, no, it's very easy, because even if we do nothing, but we have three hospitals coming, the corporate cost, which is sitting on the main hospital, gets divided by one-third everywhere, right? So of course, we're going to push the business, but definitely mid-20s is a fairly doable target in terms of EBITDA margins.
Great, that's great to know. And lastly, bookkeeping question. So I just wanted to know, what is the overall number from the O&M contracts in the P&L for the last quarter?
Sorry?
O&M contract, Mauritius. We don't...
This is a kind of... we have not put it out there because of competitors. So we have, it's not a huge number, but I would say it would be
less than 1%.
Around the percent, 1%, I would say that, yeah.
Got it, perfect. Great, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So the I'll hand over to our M&A chief, Mr. Rudra Narayan, to give the closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you all. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our management commentary for the quarter. On behalf of Artemis Medicare Services Limited, I would like to thank you all for taking time to join us today and for your continued interest in the company. If you have any further queries or require any additional information, please feel free to reach out to me or our investor relations team. We will be happy to assist you. Thank you once again for joining, and we look forward to connecting with you in the next quarter. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. On behalf of Choice Equity Broking Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.